So then, death is at work in us, but life is at work in you. It is written, I believe, therefore I have spoken. With that same spirit of faith, we also believe and therefore speak, because we know that the one who raised the Lord Jesus from the dead will also raise us with Jesus and present us with you in his presence. All this is for your benefit, so that the grace that is reaching more and more people may cause thanksgiving to overflow to the glory of God. Therefore, we do not lose heart. Though outwardly we are wasting away, yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day. For our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen. For what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks, Owen. For those people who don't know me, because I don't often come to the evening service, my name's Kate and I'm married to Owen. We have two small boys and I'm a psychiatrist and an associate with the Mind and Soul Foundation, which is an organisation that tries to bridge the gap between the church and mental health services. And tonight we are continuing the Big Issue series, and I'll be touching on the area of mental health. Just pray before I begin. Thank you, Jesus, that you are very present, that your spirit is with us. I pray that you will move and speak really personally to each one of us tonight, and that you will take my words and make it yours. Amen. One in four of us will suffer from some form of mental illness at some point in our lives. And if you have never been diagnosed with a mental illness but have struggled with issues such as worry, negative thought patterns, anger, fear of rejection, obsessional behaviour, the need for control, addictive behaviour and other fears, you'll be one of the many more who struggle with something that impacts on your mental health. Mental health is an issue for us all, as either we or someone we know and love will have or have had a mental health problem at some point in their lives. Historically, people with mental health problems were hidden away in asylums, and even though these have largely been closed down, and mental illness has become more visible to us and is generally treated in the community, we still have a tendency to hide people away through our silence around the subject. Society's attitude towards people with mental health problems is reflected in poorly funded mental health services, often thought of the Cinderella services of the NHS. Psychiatry is a hard-to-recruit specialty in medicine, and counselling happens in a little room over there, in secret, mustn't be talked about too much. The attitude of society towards mental health continues to marginalise people suffering in this area, and the wider church is not always much better. Anyone can suffer from mental health problems, including church members and church leaders, and it's possible that we won't know who these people are. There are many hiding symptoms of illness, such as depression and anxiety disorders, as they fear it may mean isolation and exclusion. Could I have the first slide, please? This is a simple picture that's fairly self-explanatory, and it depicts stigma, what it may feel like to be different to, and in this case, to have mental illness. And I'm not talking about this issue just as a Christian psychiatrist. I've also suffered from mental illness myself over many years, including eating disorders and depression. And I know what it's like to be on both sides, so to speak, suffering a personal mental illness, shame, as well as perceived but very real at times social isolation, and often due to my own need to hide, but just occasionally due to the reaction of others when they found out. The way we differentiate mental and physical brokenness and see them so differently can only be from our very human and earthly perspective. There's an attitude in society that fears mental vulnerability, seeing it as a weakness or a flaw of character. And there's an attitude that fears people who are perceived to be different. And there may be a belief that God can't use us if we suffer in this area. But God has other ideas. His word suggests that we won't find strength in striving for or having perfect physical or mental health. He says we won't find strength in having the perfect anything, including perfect looks, body, exam results, job, marriage, family, or friends. God says that we will find his strength in our weakness. The first verse of this passage in 2 Corinthians is one of my favourite verses. It says, "But we have this treasure in jars of clay to show that this all-surpassing power is from God and not from us." Clay jars in this passage symbolise our bodies, our minds, our lives, what we collect around us, our humanity. Could I have the next slide, please? Clay jars at that time were cheap, breakable, dispensable, and of no intrinsic value. The only value came from what was contained within them. And just as I turned 40 last October, our then 4-year-old son very helpfully looked at me and laughed, saying, "Mummy, you've got lines on your face." And even more helpfully, he recently added, "Daddy hasn't got any." He was, of course, pointing out a sign of my aging. Our bodies, our minds, our lives that we build around us, the clay jars that we inhabit now, are breakable, they're vulnerable, decaying, aging, and all too soon will die. And if we know and love Jesus, we can look to the future not with uncertainty, but with hope, because we'll be with him forever. But in St. Paul's words, in this lifetime, we have God's treasure within. Can I have the next slide, please? The treasure is the power of the risen Lord Jesus through the indwelling presence of his Holy Spirit. And if you look around this church now, the people around you carry the presence of Jesus. They carry God's treasure. You carry his treasure. And through his treasure, we carry the message of hope, the message of Jesus into the world. The treasure that radiates out of us in this lifetime, out of our broken clay jars, will be all that is left when we die, and it's all that really matters. So it's important for us to think about, what does the treasure look like in our lives? How do our lives reflect the life of Jesus? The treasure is found in cheap, breakable clay jars, in people marked by weakness, frailty, and vulnerability, both physical and mental. But our weakness serves to enhance the power of Jesus in us and enhance the gospel message that we bring, not detract from it. The more cracks or weaknesses we have in our clay jars, the more treasure can be seen. Our weaknesses enhance the message of Jesus because they show that the treasure within us, the strength, the power of Jesus, must be from God. It can't possibly come from us. And the weaknesses that Paul is talking about in this passage are not sinful thoughts or behaviours, but are difficult circumstances. And much of what Paul was going through was severe persecution for his beliefs. It can also be applied to illness, hardships, troubles, physical and mental wounds that are hard for us to bear. And these may be the very things, the broken and vulnerable parts of our clay jars, that God wants to use to demonstrate his power through us. The world tells us to embrace our strengths and overcome our weaknesses through somehow mustering strength from within our already very weak selves. But Jesus' response is different. It's counterintuitive. He says he can work powerfully through our weakness. Of course, we should still pray for healing and transformation. Jesus loves to restore and to heal us. And by working in power through our weaknesses, he transforms us, cleanses and heals our hearts and minds, making us more like him if we choose to walk in step with him. And some words from a worship song, Break Every Chain, really stood out to me recently as being an important message for us, that there is power in the name of Jesus, and we can call on his name to heal and to transform us. But we have to live with the tension that sometimes our weaknesses don't get healed in the way or timing that we would like. But we still contain God's treasure, and there is still power in the name of Jesus. In 2 Corinthians 12, Paul asked God three times for the thorn in his flesh to be taken away. We don't know exactly what this was, physical or mental suffering, but he described it as a messenger from Satan there to torment him. But God didn't take it away, and he said to Paul, "My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in your weakness." And Paul went on to say, "That is why, for Christ's sake, I delight in my weaknesses, insults, in hardships, in persecutions, and in difficulties. For when I am weak, I am strong." God's call on our lives is often to do things that we don't feel confident to do in our own strength. When we feel utterly weak and broken and believe that we have little to give in our own strength, we have to depend on God, draw closer to him, and he wants us in that place. He will use us in this place, and we must continue to believe that he can. We must never be so despairing that we don't believe that God can use us. Ultimately, this can lead down a dangerous path of self-pity and pride. Jackie Pullinger has been known to say that she never trusts anyone who doesn't walk with a limp, meaning someone who doesn't have, or more accurately, admit to some sort of weakness. Probably because she knows that when we acknowledge our weakness before God and before others, this is the place where we will be on our knees, bowed before our Creator, depending completely on him and offering ourselves to his service. This is the place where the treasure will shine through very brightly. God wants us to say, "Take me as I am, Lord." No one is too weak to contain his treasure. It is amazing truth that the power of God that lives within us, when released, often through our weakness, can bring healing and hope and freedom to us and to those around us. Our clay jar may be broken and vulnerable through our circumstances, through physical or mental suffering. All are part of this fallen world, and we will all have to contend with at least one or another at one time or more in our lives. Many well-known Christians have suffered from mental illness and been used mightily by God. Throughout the Bible, it is clear that God used people powerfully to his glory who were perceived by others to be weak, dysfunctional, mentally or physically ill, outcasts or lowly in status, people whom the world rejected. In the New Testament, Mary, mother of Jesus, was a poor peasant girl, still unmarried at the time. She was chosen by God to give birth to the Saviour of the world. Mary Magdalene, who Jesus had to drive out demons from, was a close friend of Jesus and first to witness him from the dead, the first messenger for Jesus. And we continue to hear today testimony after testimony of God at work powerfully through people who have been written off or rejected by society. And in 1 Corinthians 1, Paul says, "But God chose the foolish things of the world to shame the wise. God chose the weak things of the world to shame the strong. God chose the lowly things of this world and the despised things." And he goes on to say, "So that no one may boast before him, let the one who boasts boast in the Lord." Being strong or attempting to be strong all by ourselves doesn't seem to get us very far with God. But we seem to be predisposed to dislike being in a place of weakness. It feels exposing or a vulnerable place to be. We may try to hide from God, but he knows everything already. The one who created us isn't surprised by our weakness. God fully knows us, and he loves us with a love that is unfailing, that is constant and faithful, and none other can ever satisfy, whether we hide or not. But when we try to hide from God, we won't fully experience his power working through us. We won't fully experience the depth of his love. When we try to hide from God, we won't experience the fullness of the plans he has for us, because we won't get to know him more, trust him, surrender everything to him, and allow him to fully take control of our lives. We may try to hide our weakness from those around us, but when we do, our relationships remain stagnant. They don't move on, and others will hide from us. When we hide from others, we never experience the depth of love that is possible between us. We may believe that people would prefer to look at a beautiful, elegant porcelain vase, or at least something a little more beautiful than the cracked clay jar or cracked pot that we are. And although we have to take care of our clay jar in a functional way, insofar as it has an extraordinary job to do to house God's treasure, we may go to great lengths in our own strength to go beyond this, to try to make our clay jar look much better to the people around us. I just wonder if we can break off into groups now, maybe about three. And the question that I'd like people to ask themselves and each other is, why and how do we try to make our clay jars look better to others? Okay, can we close? Can we finish there, and we'll take some feedback from people. Do you want to start your group? Well, do you want to get some feedback?
No, it sounds there's collusion here, you know. So.
Well, we talked about the Facebook generation, which is like the ultimate in self-presentation and trying to present a good look. But we agreed that the slightly older generation here, agreed that we've just been all doing that for quite a long time. And a big reason we do it is we're a bit scared of being rejected if we reveal the cracks. Is that fair?
Any other group wants feedback? Put your hands up if you do.
Aaron said this, but you hide your weaknesses by making excuses and by lying to other people.
Thank you. Yeah. And anyone else?
Our group spoke about at work when you have to be super good and you're not allowed to be weak in any way. Otherwise, in the interview, you won't get the job or normally, or you won't get promotion, you won't succeed. It's all through fear.
Fear, yeah, thanks. Anyone else?
Yeah. I think it's an unrealistic expectation. And when people know each other, they know your strengths and weaknesses, and quality speaks for itself, so you shouldn't have to pretend in any way. You should just be yourself, and you should be enough with the people you know around you.
Thank you. Yeah, we may try to do this through hiding our physical or mental brokenness. Some of you have touched on these issues, or through striving to change what we look like through clothes and cosmetics, worrying about what we say and do, what we achieve, or what we acquire materially. It isn't that all these things are bad in themselves, but they shouldn't become our primary concern or focus, because if they do, God is removed from his rightful place as a first love in our lives. We become too worried about our own comfort, and we fear that others will only love us if we appear to be at least near to perfect. However, the truth is that when we see the treasure within others through their weakness, the cracks in their clay jar, and see the power of God, the light of Jesus shining through, all the brokenness and ugliness of the clay jar becomes more beautiful and more precious to look at than any elegant and expensive vase could ever be. We're drawn towards each other's vulnerability and weakness when we see God working through it, and see steadfastness of faith when we see joy in suffering and weak Christians at a time when society would have expected a rejection of God. When we hide and try to mask our broken clay jars behind a veneer, we miss out on deep relationship with God and with others. John Ortberg wrote a book called Everyone's Normal Till You Get to Know Them. And I read this book primarily because I love the title, but it is a great book. And he says, knowing and being known go to the core of life. You cannot be fully loved if you are not fully known. You can only be loved to the extent that you are known. You can only be completely loved if you are completely known. And I've struggled over the years to let people see the real me, to allow people in to know my story, at least the cracked clay jar version. Perhaps because of a couple of bad experiences of opening up to people many years ago, which shut me down. But as I've aged, I've come to notice that my most precious relationships are with those people who know that the cracks in my clay jar are still very numerous, and even now still full of mental battle, insecurities and irrational fears. I've come to notice that even when at times my natural inclination would be to believe that it couldn't be possible, that these are the people who love me more deeply. If there are people here who are hiding, I really recommend taking what may feel like a risk. Talk freely to God about the parts of yourself that you feel most ashamed about, as he knows it all already. And he desperately wants you to come to him. Try opening up to someone you trust. Show them the fragility of your clay jar. When we increase intimacy in our relationships, primarily with God and then with one another, our physical and our mental health improves. Life-giving community that draws others in is built where we can be open, at least with some people, about our weakness, where we see God's treasure spilling out through the cracks in one another's clay jars, and see the power of Jesus working through weakness, transforming and healing us and others. Community is also built where we are kind and careful with the hearts and the minds of those who are prepared to acknowledge their brokenness and their weakness to us. Jennifer Blair, an artist and photographer, writes in her blog, "It's crazy that the Spirit of God wants to house himself in this dirty little jar of clay. I'm letting go of trying to cover up my weakness today. I'm giving up trying to put myself together. I'm broken, and I know it. Only God is strong in me. He alone holds this little broken pot together. The cracks and broken pieces in my exterior are allowing the light of Christ shine through. I'm ordinary on the outside, but hold something extraordinary inside. My strength is utter weakness, and my victory is to lose. My triumph is when I'm pressed down, bruised, bent, and broken. So let the pressure come. Let it break me so that all the world will know that the only good in me is Jesus. Only Jesus." As I close, I'm just going to mention what Paul went on to say towards the end of this passage, that we should not lose heart. Because although we are wasting away on the outside, inwardly we are being renewed day by day, because the treasure, the power of Jesus, is within us. He said that the troubles that we have in this lifetime are light and momentary. And they may not feel at all light and momentary, and you may feel very irritated people say that they are. And Paul's troubles probably didn't feel like that either. But I believe that through these words, Paul is urging us to look towards Jesus in all our circumstances, to fix our eyes on him and to the glory that lies ahead after our earthly death, where we will be entirely restored and renewed and be with him forever if we believe and trust in Jesus. In the light of eternity, what Paul was going through, and whatever you and I may go through, hardships, physical or mental suffering, they'll be very short-lived, and Paul said that these sufferings achieve an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. We heard Baroness Cox speaking at our women's breakfast a few weeks ago, and she spoke about a pastor in Burma who had watched his people go through terrible human rights abuses, and these words are part of a meditation he wrote. "They say they see the life of our people is a misery, but praise God, our life is a mystery. For what they say is what they see, and what they see is temporal, but ours is the eternal, all because we put ourselves in the hands of the God we trust." You can put yourselves in the hands of our trustworthy God. You are just a cracked clay jar, but his treasure is within you. When you call upon his name, he will come in power, working for you and through you to transform your lives and the lives of those around you. Because God's power is made perfect in our weakness.